The last time we were together, I talked about the importance of organization. And that's what we're going to talk about now. It's called master planning. Let me share with you my story. I was a seminary graduate, and I had been involved in ministry for about 5 years. And a man by the name of Verley Sangster, back then he was the National Urban Director for Young Life, and he was based in Denver. And he invited me, along with a number of pastors and youth leaders together, to meet one day a month for 8 months. And he took us through the entire, all of the master planning materials that were coming out of Master Planning Group International. Like I said, I was a seminary grad, and I had never heard what I was taught. I never knew you could think this way about leadership, and didn't know that you could think this way about organization. Someone once asked me, why is master planning so important to you? Well, what makes that, why would you not favor some of the other strategic planning materials? And I told him, I said, you know, I came out of the neighborhood. Okay, my father was a 10th grade dropout. I had great skills in music, but then I got saved and brought into ministry, and I did not know how to think presidentially about an organization. And yet here I was seeking to establish one. The beauty of the master planning material I found was in its profound simplicity, that Bob had put together materials that someone like me could immediately take and grab and apply. You didn't have to be a rocket scientist to do it. It was very simple. And so I did that shortly after, like I said, I was a graduate for about 3 years. 10 years later, I was co-officiating a wedding, and the gentleman who was part of he was the head of the Leadership Foundation that helped sponsor that event. And so while we were doing the wedding, I said to him, you know, I want to thank you again for what you allowed me to experience. And he looked at me and said, would you like to do it again? And so we got together with another one of the consultants for master planning, and we spent the next 2 years. We did it twice. Same thing, but 2 years back to back. Only this time, the first year, I assisted her. And then in the second year, she assisted me. And then at the end of that 2 year period, I had the privilege of meeting with Bob, and he gave me permission to teach the master planning portion of Master Planning Group International. And so I have been doing that. But it is amazing how that has changed so many organizations do not know how to move forward. They do not know what to do next, or why and why it's important, and how to bring appropriate resources to bear on the need at hand. And master planning allows you to do that. A master plan is a written statement of a group's assumptions about its direction, its organization, and its resources. Now, what happens when you don't have a plan, when an organization does not have a plan? Well, here's one thing that happens. Drifting day to day. There can be a lack of clear focus. You can be in firefighting mode. Or you can be a leader who feels like she or he isn't really initiating. You're just responding. You're firefighting. There's a lack of growth readiness. There's transitional stress. There's no leadership training. Leadership is maybe forced to work beyond its experience level, or your leadership may be just non-existent. You have a team that's making differing assumptions. And so you've got progressive frustration, tension, pressure. Someone has said all miscommunication is a result of differing assumptions, and it results in tension and pressure and frustration. You have an unclear dream, especially in you're in a ministry that is donation dependent. Your giving will probably drop. Without a clear plan, supporters don't feel there is a need for their resources. And then there's no clear context for decision making. And so you have paralyzing indecision. You don't know what to do next because there's no context in which to make good decisions. So planning is important. What are the benefits of a clear plan? What happens to a ministry that does plan? One is it increases team spirit because everyone plays off the same sheet of music. Another is that it defines the philosophical framework needed for organizational growth, problem solving, staff orientation, effective communication, and wise decision making. And then third, it reduces organizational frustration, tension, and pressure by putting assumptions in writing. I want to pause for a minute. James, he says, don't say you're going to live and do this and do that. Instead, say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also we will do this or that. James does not, there are many people that feel that planning is contrary to faith. And I want to emphasize that planning really is an evidence of faith. If God has called you, and He's called you to a purpose, then He wants you to think about, in Him, what you will do next, and why, and how. So planning is not contrary to Christian thinking. Planning actually is an expression of faith in what God has called you to do. Remember we asked the question of young people, where is God in all of this? God is in the planning as well. And we'll talk about that as we get into the master planning and the arrow. Master planning is a doctor process. And the D stands for direction. So you have direction, organization, cash or resources, tracking, overall evaluation, and refinement. Probably the most time-consuming and yet the most important part of this is direction. And as you can see, there's an arrow up here. I don't know how well you can see this, but this is the master planning arrow. Now, when you get involved with master planning, you will receive a huge arrow. It's like this big, and it fits on your. You can post it on your wall. But here's the process. And I'm going to go over this quickly. If you get involved in, you can certainly do more of this as you read some of Bob's books, or if you want to be involved with the training that the center will provide, you can do this. We'll walk you through it. But basically, you start with your burden. What is it that grieves you? What makes you weep or pound the table? What burden do you feel? This is the emotional side of planning. And then you move into, if this is your burden, then what is your purpose? Why do you exist? Your purpose flows out of your heartfelt burden. And then you think, well, if that's my purpose, what areas will I always be involved in? What areas will I always be involved in order to accomplish that? And so you write down the 3 to 7 areas that you will always be involved in. And then from there, say you have an objective, you will always be involved in running a youth club. You'll always be involved with working with kids in a club setting. So you put that here. Well, what happens is this line here contributes to fulfilling that objective. Okay, you have your goals here. Here you have your preparation. So you set your objective is youth clubs. Then you come over here and put your, say, youth clubs in here. And then you think through your you think through your roadblocks, your resources, your ideas, and your milestones. What have you already accomplished? What ideas do you have that are not your goals? That are not goals, they're just ideas. What are your top 3 roadblocks, your top 3 resources? And then you begin to think through, and this timeline can be 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever is best for you. But you basically have short-range, mid-range, long-range goals, and so if you're going to do this, then what are you going to do in the next 3 months? A part of this is how you think about goals. That goals are, they're not whips. They're stair steps to dreams. You recognize that if you set, and goals have to be measurable and doable. You don't set unrealistic goals. So it's like the idea is, how do you eat an elephant? You eat the elephant one bite at a time. So this over here may feel like an elephant, but you can eat it if you give yourself time to do it. But what happens when you put something like this together? What happens when you've thought all of this through? You've figured out, this is my purpose, this is why I exist. Here are the areas I'm always going to be involved in. And this is how I'm going to get there. If you have that posted on your wall, what is that going to communicate to people who walk in and see your arrow? It's going to communicate to them that you know what to do next. You know why, and you know how. It's going to communicate that this person has a vision and a mission that is serious. And they'll be able to give you a clear yes or no as to whether or not they want to join you in your mission. And so I've used this when I'm doing training, and I ask people to first start with your burden. Okay, what need do I feel deeply burdened by, uniquely qualified to meet? What makes me weep or pound the table, and have them write that down? And then I ask them, well, if that's your burden, why do you exist? Okay, why do you exist? And then if this is what your purpose is, then what areas will you continually be involved in order to accomplish this purpose? That's the arrow. The other areas of the process are organization, cash, tracking, overall evaluation, and refinement. They all are very important pieces. If you have your direction, your organization, and your cash, then you have a master plan. You have a plan. It's the tracking, overall evaluation, and refinement that keeps it alive. I have found that when organizations go through this process, and once it takes the most time when you first do it, but then once you've done it, then doing it over and over again. In fact, if you take what's on the arrow and you put it into 8.5 by 11, write it out differently as an 8.5 by 11 document, you're going to establish something that the master planning folks call arrow logic. and you will never be the same again. It's the way you will think. It's the way you will plan. It's you, when something comes at you, so someone comes up with an idea, you'll figure out where do I hang this? Someone's just throwing an idea at me. Well, where does it fit? Is it an idea? Is it something I want to act on? And if so, when am I going to act on it? First year, second year, fifth year, or next 3 months? So right now, it's like a hanger in your head where stuff comes at you and you now know where to hang it based upon your purpose and your objectives and why you exist. So it's a wonderful tool that helps sharpen your thinking and your mission and your calling. By taking that calling and putting it down on paper so that everyone else can see. So I hope this will be of help to you. Again, you can look at Bob Beal's book. It's called Strategic Planning, formerly Master Planning. Or again, if you need more information, you certainly can contact the center.